God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today, we conclude this three-day series of programs with Dr. Aaron Judkins and Dr. Carl Ball, based on Dr. Judkins' new book, Evolution and Human Fossil Footprints. Dr. Judkins has participated in numerous excavations throughout the U.S. and Israel, and has studied the human fossil footprint phenomenon for the past decade. Dr. Ball is founder and director of the Creation Evidence Museum in Glen Rose, Texas, and is a frequent guest on this program. Brother Hutchings, why do we present programs such as the ones we've done with Dr. Judkins and Dr. Ball?
This is part of our ministry here at Southwest Radio to contend for the faith once delivered for the saints, and that is to challenge apostate theories like the theory of evolution. It is apostate in the sense that it is adverse to the biblical account of creation, that there is a special creator, there is a super intelligent power that not only created this earth and our own solar system, but and our own galaxy, the Milky Way, in which there are a billion stars, I think, or solar systems, and then there are billions of galaxies out there in space with trillions and trillions of miles and all this wonderful, wonderful symmetry that correlates together. You know, Dr. Ball, we're told that we're going to ascend to heaven one of these days and be with Jesus.
I'm looking forward to that blessed event and observing the signs of the time. I would urge every person listening to this broadcast to be prepared by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, because here in the studio, there are various little signs, 1 minute, 28 seconds, et cetera, et cetera. And as we observe the signs, there's no way to determine the exact time the Lord will come. He said no one could know, but you can examine the signs of the time and know the season. We're living in a meltdown of human society, and it is obvious that mankind worldwide is anticipating a leader who will pull them out of the quagmire and at least stabilize human society. Well, that man will be the Antichrist, but he will not be able to stabilize. He will deepen the problem in his antithesis of a relationship to God. Ultimately, Jesus Christ himself will return to stabilize mankind and offer the only hope, and has always been the only hope, that mankind has ever had.
Yes, and that is one reason for the importance of this new book that we have just published here at the ministry, on how footprints all over the world in rock strata along with dinosaurs prove that the theory of evolution is wrong and the Bible has the correct answer, that there is a super intelligent, super powerful creator whom we know as God, and it was through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, from before the foundation of the world, who created all things, and for him were all things created.
And he still sustains all things. All things are upheld by him. Not only is Jesus Christ the hope of the individual and for his eternal soul, but Jesus Christ is the only hope in his sustaining power, first his creative power, and then now his sustaining power, the only hope for the entire universe. Dr. Hutchings, actually, modern scientists are puzzled in that they cannot understand what holds the universe together. Up to some 85 to 87% of matter that should hold the universe together gravitationally is missing, and they call this the dark matter because it can't be detected. It's not found anywhere, but according to all the theories of gravity, there must be more matter to hold the universe together, but it is not matter that's holding the universe together. In Colossians, he's called the one who sustains the universe, and his name is Jesus Christ. As we approach in this program this new book by Aaron Judkins, who's in the studio, this new book on evolution and human fossil footprints, You mentioned the name Dr. Edward Blick. Dr. Blick has made major contributions as a scientist in aeronautical engineering, has taught science classes at the University of Oklahoma and other universities, demonstrates that good science can be done. When we get to the theory of evolution, not only, as you mentioned at the top of the program, is evolution an antithesis of faith in the Bible, but evolution is a statement of antithesis for empirical scientific studies. What we're going to do in a nutshell today is to actually go into the geologic column, into the rock layers. Today we have imperial science imposed upon the students in the classroom, unfortunately. Imperial science is a mandated statement of science that permits no critique. Empirical science is systematic study of the facts and then drawing the conclusion that's warranted. So today, with author Aaron Judkins, we're going to actually go into the fossil record and do some scientific analysis. He has a background in medical science. His great uncle, Dr. Melvin Judkins, actually was the leader of the team that invented the catheterization, the angioplasty, and the stent system that is used around the world to save countless lives in heart surgery.
Yes, thank you. And one of the important facets in this book is the footprints that have appeared in Africa, in France, in many countries, here in the United States, all over. Footprints that were in clay at one time are in softer soil, and that soil was hardened by natural processes, turned into stone or shell, and all these footprints of ancient man in the same rock strata layer with all these different kinds of dinosaurs that lived many years ago are now extinct.
And many of these footprints that author Judkins is going to talk about, some of them in trails, appear in rock layers that are evolutionarily assigned an age, Dr. Hutchings, even before the dinosaurs appeared. So this totally destroys not only the last 20% of the geologic column, he's going to, in essence, destroy the entire geologic column as an illustration of long evolutionary processes and demonstrate that instead it occurred in a single year of a worldwide flood.
A lot of this evidence also proves that they could not have been possibly carved because some of them are separated by distances in the same rock. So it would be impossible for somebody to do this. In fact, as Dr. Ball has also proved, the impressions and forms in the stone also proved that they are actual footprints. The footprints are just like the footprints of man today. They're not half-ape footprints or something like that. They're exactly the same as footprints today. Ancient man had the same foot and had the same body, the same mind, the same eyes. Their evolution is a fantasy. It's not a fact. Brother Judkins, could you tell us about the collection of all these footprints, where some of them are, and your reason for putting them all in this book?
Darwinism is really not an established fact based on empirical evidence. It's an observation that merely attempts to explain the universe. And so the great questions of life are, who am I and where did I come from? Where am I going and what is my purpose? Darwinism can't answer those questions. And so when you're looking at evidence such as fossil footprints in rock, they're interpreted within the narrow boundaries of the uniformitarian view. Now, these footprints are scattered all over the world. And the reason I wrote the book is because my research down in the Paluxy since 1996, I would ask people as these new evidences would appear, and I would say, well, have you heard about the footprint sites in Australia? No. Have you heard about the footprints in Italy or France or Mexico? No. No one knew about them. And so people are quick to dismiss evidence in one area, but really don't know about it in the other. So I decided this needs to be put together in one volume so people would understand This is not an isolated event. This is really a global phenomenon. And for instance, some of these footprints we talked about in one of the latter programs is in Africa, Laetoli, Tanzania, where the prints are ascribed to Australopithecus afarensis, purely on the assumption that humans could not have lived 3.6 million years ago. Now, evolution says that man didn't evolve, assumedly, until the late tertiary period, and therefore cannot be older than 3 million years. They're running into problems in their own theory. Here they have prints at Laetoli ascribed to 3.6 million years, so they automatically assign it to a hominid, simply because humans could not have been around that long ago. Well, here's the question. Either modern man lived at the very earliest eras of evolution, which puts him back millions and millions of years old, or all rock dating must be reconsidered and shrunk down to a much shorter time frame. Now, that is the real question. What is going on here? How come the evidence doesn't fit the theory that they're teaching us and our kids? Well, it's because their theory is wrong, and they base their theory off of inaccurate radiometric dating. For instance, potassium-argon dating is a very common dating technique used, along with carbon-14. But what they don't tell you is that potassium leaches out of the rock very quickly. Now, you can do it with distilled water, which is rainwater, essentially. You can distill 60% of potassium out of rock in 4.5 hours. Now, Time magazine, back in the 60s, put out that article, but yet it's been overlooked. They don't tell people that. So potassium argon is a dating technique that can't be relied on. Argon is a gas, it's unstable, and it dissipates very quickly. So they have to make variable assumptions into these techniques that they use to try to get an age on these. And they're just erroneous. They can't agree even on one single item to date these things. Dr. Charles Oxnard actually showed, he was an anatomist, and he showed that the big toe actually sticks out in Lucy, and this data empirically shows that this foot bones of Lucy could not have possibly made the footprints at Laetoli. These are ascribed to a hominid that did not exist, yet they're in full appearance, they're modern in structure. Now, the foot bone has 26 bones, 33 joints, and over 100 muscles, ligaments, and tendons to make that thing work. Now, the thing that really separates us from the apes is the big toe. We have no opposable big toe, such as the great apes. They have opposable toes. But here's some of the hallmarks of the human foot. They have phalanges, metatarsals, cuneiforms, cuboids, and navicular bones, which are bones that sit behind the cuneiforms, and the calcaneus heel. Now, the big toe is very important because it's parallel with the other toes, and this is a defining hallmark. Really, the landmark evidence should be bipedalism, and this is the distinguishing factor of human footprint anatomy. For instance, the new fossil they found, Ida, which is, they say, is the new missing link. They claim Ida has nails, which primates have nails. They have a talus bone in her ankle foot, and which say they're similar to the ankle structure of the human foot, and so therefore this is a missing link. Well, Ida was projected as the grand finale of the missing links, and she's not. She is an extinct lemur-like animal, no comparison at all to a human. But let me talk about the talus bone in the foot, because this is one of the major things they say why this is a missing link. The talus bone is there. It is similar to the human bone. But here's what they don't tell you, is that the talus bone in apes and in lemurs sits backwards. Now, why is that? Because lemurs, apes, chimpanzees are quadrupedal, and they use all fours to run, whereas humans are bipedal in nature. In humans, the talus bone sits forward. It has to sit forward because that is how we walk forward in locomotion bipedally upright. Now, this is a distinguishing factor that they don't tell you, is that talus bone is there for a purpose. Yes, it's similar in structure, but it's reversed because the gait is different in the great apes, the chimpanzees, and in humans. And that's a distinguishing hallmark of the difference between apes and humans.
Aaron, this is a marvelous exposure to this audience, for we're all familiar recently with the disclosure of Darwinius Macaulay, who was supposed to be our Ida, our original ancestor, but not so. And you have demonstrated that this talus bone is situated backward because of the gait. And so there is no connection whatsoever between that little lemur-like creature and mankind. And what I think this audience needs to know is the apes and even the lemurs, for just a minute or two, might have to walk upright, semi-upright, to get to water or to get to the tree where they climbed. But they, of course, were quadrupedal. They actually walked and ran on all fours. But man, uniquely, man has the ability to walk continuously for long periods of time upright. He prefers upright stance. So in your book, you actually describe long trails of footprints, and then I'd like for us to get to a couple of the prints that you feature in the book that literally people can come to the Creation Evidence Museum and see, verifying that the data you have here is accurate. What about these trails of human footprints?
Well, in Australia, for example, Dr. Baugh, in Mungo Park, there was 700 fossil footprints found.
Now, 700 fossil
initially footprints? 700. It's supposed to be the largest collection of Pleistocene human footprints. Now, why do they say Pleistocene? And this is one of the things I take you through in the book. So when they come out with these terms, and you'll understand what they're talking about, they're stating that these tracks are Pleistocene because they would have you believe that these tracks belong to archaic Homo sapiens. And according to the evolutionary interpretation, the earliest human settlers in Australia are believed to have arrived from Indonesia about 50,000 years ago by sea. But this is not correct. The dating that they got was about 20,000 years old. Now, the dating is, again, wrong. They used potassium-argon dating. We talked about that already. And they used optically stimulated luminescence, which attempts to date the sand grains. But that's erroneous as well. But these fossil trails are all over the place, and they're totally correct in the anatomy of the foot.
And that, identical to modern man.
Identical to modern man. Matter of fact, if evolution is true, the human foot should have been demonstrated in some kind of a change in the fossil record, and it is not.
Are there other long trails that have been found in rock around the world?
There are sites in Mexico that's very interesting. It created such a controversy. I'd like to talk about that for a minute. Nicaragua is very fascinating find that dates back to 1874 in Italy and so forth. They're all over the place.
Now, if man first began to evolute, say, in Africa, you find footprints there in Africa, so-called of the first man. Now, as man began to gradually migrate over the thousands or millions of years, according to theory of evolution, to North America or South America or to Australia or to France, as you brought here, or to Tennessee or to Glen Rose, Texas, there should be an evolutionary development in the footprints, but all the footprints are the same.
They're all the same. You would think that there would be toes sticking out the side and no big toe, and maybe even opposable toes and things like this. There's no such demonstrated record in the geological column in these rocks. And the fossil record is really a record of the past, and it shows not only the anatomy of the foot, but it can show in what kind of environment they lived in. Now, these fossils can never show, even in footprint fossils, can never show or demonstrate evolution. Fossils are a record of dead organisms, and they cannot demonstrate change. Evolution is supposedly a demonstration of organisms being changed in living form. And so the fossil record is very important. But let me talk about Mexico real quick. That's an area near central Mexico that they found in 2003, 269 human footprints. Now, Dr. Sylvia Gonzalez is a secular geologist. She came forward with this, And they dated these with the optically stimulated luminescence method at 40,000 years. But this sent shockwaves to the academic circles. Why? Because supposedly the Clovis First model says that the first Americans didn't arrive to South America until about 11,500 years ago. So they redated the rock. They didn't like the first date. They said it's got to be wrong. So they redated it with argon-argon dating and got 1.3 million years. Well, now they're really in a dilemma because now they got an older date. This really predates the first known appearance of Homo sapiens in Africa by 1 million years. So what did they do? They just threw out the evidence altogether. They said, oh, they're not human. They're just pop marks. It's unbelievable. The evidence is right in front of them.
And the distinctive features, the mud displacement, everything
absolutely,
are there.
Yet they do not accept the evidence for what it's telling them. They're in a mindset, and their mind is made up. Evolution is true. Creation can't be true. And so this is the type of mindset that we're up against in our schools. It's a very important issue. And we need to be teaching our kids that there is responsibility, there's absolutes, there's morals, there's right and wrong. And they can't act like a monkey, even though they're supposedly come from a monkey.
And you've already emphasized on this program that those dates are simply assigned and actually misinterpreted so that all of this is fit within the framework, recent framework, of a worldwide flood.
Well, I want to thank Brother Judkins and Brother Ball for being with us on these programs and for this tremendous book that Brother Aaron has written. I certainly encourage you to get a copy of this book, get several if you can. And thank you, gentlemen, again for being with us.
Well, this has been a very enlightening series of programs. If you haven't already called, written, or gone online for your copy of Evolution and Human Fossil Footprints, don't let today go by without doing that. We'll send one copy of the 256-page book for an offering of $15 in the U.S., $17 in Canada. Call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. You very well may want to get extra copies to share with others. If so, call for the multiple book gift amount. The information found in this book is so important in our battle to prove evolution wrong and the biblical account correct. The reason is the fact that humans and dinosaurs walking the earth at the same time destroys the myth of evolution. Of course, they don't want to admit it, and that's why this book is so important. See for yourself through the photographs and written explanations of Dr. Judkins' findings that evolution is, at best, a theory. Again, get one copy of the book for a gift of $15 in the U.S., $17 for Canadian listeners. Make your contribution by calling 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. This program is on this station by your tax-deductible contributions. For that reason, we really need to know the call letters of the station you are listening to right now. So please provide that information when you call, write, or visit the web. Tomorrow we have a special treat for you. We have acquired a copy of a sermon by the late Dr. Sam Morris, a Texan who fought beverage alcohol. Be listening tomorrow when we play one of his temperance sermons from days gone by. We trust you'll be here tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News Report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. The United States government has been meddling in Middle East events for years. As time goes by, the rhetoric seems to get shriller. The Obama administration, for example, has been telling Jews to stop building on land that the Palestinians claim they want for a future state. Recently, a former presidential candidate, Mike Huckabee of Arkansas, has spoken out against the administration's call for restrictions on new construction. We're quoting from the Jewish website Haaretz.com, August 18, 2009. Quote, Republican Mike Huckabee, who sought his party's presidential nomination last year but lost to John McCain, said Monday that the U.S. has taken too harsh a stance against Israel on the issue of settlements. The U.S. should not be telling Jewish people in Israel where they should and should not live, Huckabee said while visiting Jewish enclaves in East Jerusalem. The U.S. administration is pressuring Israel to stop building settlements on lands the Palestinians claim for a future state, including East Jerusalem. Israel, meanwhile, says East Jerusalem will remain part of its capital and insists some settlement construction must continue. Huckabee, scheduled to attend a gala dinner in the controversial Shepherd Hotel in East Jerusalem on Monday night. The former Arkansas governor, who arrived in Israel Sunday as the guest of several rightist organizations, will be joined at the hotel dinner by over 100 guests, including prominent Jewish and Republican activists from the United States. The Obama administration has objected to Israeli plans for construction at the hotel, located in the heart of a Palestinian neighborhood. Huckabee is openly critical of U.S. President Barack Obama's policy toward Israel, including the demand for a freeze on Jewish construction in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Obama has pressed Israel to halt settlement activity as part of a bid to revive peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians. Close quotes. The controversy over Jerusalem seems to be a foreshadowing of a Bible prophecy that will occur in the very end times. We read, "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." That's from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. That is an ominous prediction that those who want to worry themselves with Jerusalem should take to heart. We should also consider how valuable Jerusalem is to God. The psalmist wrote, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation." That's Psalm 132, verse 13. Zion, of course, is Jerusalem. That's today's Bible in the News report. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly Bible in the News question and answer publication, call 1-800-652-1144 or write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. A third way to get it is to visit the website at swrc.com. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program when, once again, we bring you a Bible in the News report or a question and answer.